Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. The Word of God, that's the basis for our meditation this Ash Wednesday. It's taken from Romans chapter 5, verse 12 and 18. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. These other words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, the Redeemer of all sinners, including us, fellow redeemed, in his precious blood. He gets us. Unless you don't watch television at all, which honestly isn't the worst idea. You may know that "He gets us" is the ad slogan of a series of commercials launched in late 2022, financed largely by the family that owns Hobby Lobby. If you go to YouTube, you can watch the actual commercials. And if you do so, you'll find that the ads present Jesus as a person who's compassionate and relevant because he experienced many of the same things that we do today. There's an element of truth in each of the commercials, but there are also some things that aren't really accurate. But it is certainly true that he gets us. Jesus understands the things that we go through because he's fully human. He experienced things that we experience, like hunger and thirst, hatred and betrayal. And it's because he gets us that he can help us in our individual troubles. This is why the writer to the Hebrews says this: "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." There's really no doubt that Jesus understands us. The real question is, do we understand Jesus? Do we really understand who he is and what he's done? Do we really grasp the truth about his person and his purpose in coming, so that we can recognize and dismiss what's falsely asserted about him? That is a more complicated question, isn't it? Ever since the first century, people have been talking about Jesus. There have been many things said and asserted about him, some true, some not remotely true. Likewise, every time we gather for worship, don't we say something about Jesus? Yes. We confess our faith in him. We declare who he is and what he has done and what he accomplished by him. So is it all true and accurate? Or is it only partly true, like the "He Gets Us" commercials? Was the man Martin Luther correct when he said this about Jesus, explaining the second article, the Apostles' Creed? "He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent sufferings and death, that I should be his very own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness." Is this most certainly true? This Lenten season, we will witness the death of Jesus again, and we will find once more that he did it all for us, for the entire mass of humanity. We will also find that the man Martin Luther and what he wrote is most certainly in agreement with what stands written. May God the Holy Spirit guide and strengthen us through each of these meditations. Amen. We Christians must seem pretty twisted to those outside of historic biblical Christianity. This evening we begin the penitential season of Lent, during which we review the suffering and death of our Savior Jesus in preparation for the celebration of his resurrection from the dead. How barbaric must Christians be that they set aside 40 days to recount blow by blow the suffering and death of their master, year after year? Do we Christians like to reopen old wounds? So if you were asked why Lent, how would you answer? Why do we take time to look upon Jesus' suffering and death? Because it means something. Jesus died to redeem us from sin. Jesus' death changed our final destination from one of doom to one of joy in eternal life. After all, the suffering and death of Jesus didn't happen because he couldn't stop it. The Son of God was born into the human race because of our need, because of our destiny, because of our doom. Once again, the world around us doesn't understand, which is why we have work to do as Jesus' people, helping people to see and to understand. For the most part, people look at this world and they say, it doesn't seem so bad. You Christians say everything is broken. Things seem pretty good in my life. I have what I need. Why should I worry about the judgment? Well, that's what people say when life is good and everything goes as planned. It's another matter, isn't it, when a gunman opens fire on the campus of Michigan State, killing 3 and leaving 5 others critically wounded before taking his own life? Then the same people ask other questions. Why did this happen? If we're all good people, why do evil things happen? If God really created this world in the beginning to be without flaw, why is everything so messed up today? The Apostle Paul answers the question behind it all. Why do things or have things gone so bad? Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Most people in our age scoff at the whole idea of the fall into sin. They say things like, so let me get this straight. Everything went wrong because 2 people ate an apple they weren't supposed to, and that all happened because a snake told them that everything would be okay. Sure. But the 3rd chapter of Genesis is not a fairy tale. God created Adam unlike any other created thing, and then he made Eve from him. He placed them in Eden, and he provided all of their needs. They had everything except something to be afraid of. God gave them opportunity to show their thanksgiving for all that they were and all that they had by not eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they were different than us. They were perfect human beings, created without sin in God's image, righteous and holy. They could have lived forever in a sinless state by simply obeying God. They disobeyed. And through one man, sin entered the world and death through sin. Wait, Pastor. That's wrong. Shouldn't Paul have said that through one woman, sin entered the world? Come on. No, God's word doesn't need any editing. After all, Eve wasn't alone when tempted by Satan. It may be that Eve took the first bite, perhaps. But Adam was present with her all along, according to Holy Scripture. Adam was created as the head of the household, and yet he did and said nothing. It's as much the sin of Adam as the sin of Eve. Really doesn't help to place the blame. It was human disobedience that opened the door for sin to enter this world, and sin held the door open for death. There had been nothing wrong in this world, and no death. Sin and death not only entered this world through the disobedience of man, but infected man and all of his generations. So today, sin is found in every human being. And death will claim every human being. Sin doesn't just lurk in the shadows in big cities. It hides in the very nature of every human being. And so when someone enters a high school or a university or McDonald's and starts shooting, that rottenness rises from within, as Jesus said. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. And we've seen it in our own hearts, in our own lives, if we're honest with ourselves. We find bitterness and discontent in our own hearts. We find anger and resentment, jealousy, lust, covetousness. The rottenness within us doesn't always stay there, does it? It creeps out into our language and is revealed in our actions. And our actions show what's in our hearts. You see, this isn't just a problem of the distant past. It's still a problem today, a very real problem, here in Marquette and here in our hearts. We might be tempted to minimize the problem like so often people do. I'm only human. But that's just like saying, I'm just a robber, just a murderer. Sin doesn't just put us into a category. It has lasting consequences. You know, just like the robber goes to jail and the murderer goes to prison or death row. There are consequences for sin. And I'm not just talking about the heartbreak and sorrow that we see all around us in this world. You see, God's law demands that sin be punished. And the consequence of even a single sin is eternal separation from God in hell. There are no slap on the wrist consequences for sin. It places us in the crosshairs of God's judgment. Sin owns us. And it's not giving up on us either. And the consequence of sin is a guilty verdict and the sentence of eternal death. And it isn't only the verdict and punishment that Adam and Eve deserved. It's passed on to every one of us. So it is written. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Squirm as we might, there's no evading the blame. We don't need to look for an additional list in the Bible somewhere of all of those to whom this condemnation applies, because it says all men, which means every man, woman, and child who has ever and will ever live. If the message of Lent were only this, the message of sin and death, then it would be really insane to review it year after year. But mercifully, there's more. It's great news. It's that we've been redeemed from sin by the righteous act of one man who was more than a man. Let's take it all together. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. We were like convicted criminals in prison, bound and reserved for death and eternal punishment, until Jesus came to redeem us, to do what was necessary to purchase our release from Satan, set in motion in Eden and from sin and death. He didn't come to help us make things right. He came to save us by doing all that was necessary. So God's law demands that we be holy as Adam and Eve were at creation. But they lost that true righteousness and holiness when they disobeyed God, and we're descended of that. We have neither the desire nor the ability to live a sinless life. We're bound to sin. We're hardwired to do it. And so God sent Jesus into the human race to be our substitute, to keep his law perfectly. And he was perfect in every way, and sinlessly obedient. And his shining, perfect record is credited to us by faith. God's law demands that the guilty be punished. And there's no doubt that we're the guilty. But Jesus took our sin too, and the wrongs that we have done, and the weight of our guilt, and he suffered the punishment that our sins deserved. The condemnation of our sin was transferred to him. And finally, God declares that the soul that sins shall die. And so Jesus not only took our sin and our guilt, but also suffered death in our place. He not only removed sin's claim on us, but also death's claim. He crushed Satan and his claim on us and destroyed his power. The amazing result is this, that when God looks upon us, he sees people whose lives are perfect because they're covered in Jesus' perfect life. He sees people whose sin is cleansed in Jesus' blood, blotted out. He sees people who have been freed from slavery to Satan and enabled to serve God. Those people, God's people, are you and all who trust in his Son. For Jesus has redeemed you, formerly lost and condemned people. Can't really say it much better than the hymn writer. The holy, meek, unspotted Lamb who from the Father's bosom came, who died for me, e'en me to atone, now for my Lord and God I own. Jesus, be endless praise to thee, whose boundless mercy hath for me, and all thy hands have made, an everlasting ransom paid. Amen. In the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. The offerings will be gathered.